Hi, everyone. Just wanted to let you know that Jim and Steve Watch a Show are now on social media. Please follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Jim and Steve Watch a Show. There, you can find out what TV show they will be watching next to enhance your listening experience. Also, feel free to give them suggestions for shows to watch or even a nerd challenge idea. Thanks for listening.
Hello, listeners. This week we had a bit of a mix-up. It turns out there are two different shows called My Love from the Stars. One is a Korean show from 2013 called My Love from the Star, singular. The other is a Japanese show from 2022 called My Love from the Stars, plural. In this episode, we give background information for the Korean show, but we actually watch the Japanese show. But you'll hear that we get confused ourselves during the review. So anyway, sorry for the confusion, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, hold the comments.
I'm going to wait. Maybe your take will be similar to mine. I don't know.
I did a lot of research on this one.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
And I learned, because as I was doing my normal research,
yeah,
I found a lot more that I was like, what? And so it got interesting.
Jim and Steve watch a show. Watch a show you've never seen.
Welcome, everybody, to Jim and Steve Watch a Show, Season 2, Episode 4. In this episode, we're going to take a look at My Love from the Stars. I'm not sure if it's star or stars. Perhaps Steve will
provide, I've seen both.
provide some clarification. My name is Jim.
I am Steve.
And Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our podcast is all about?
Absolutely. Every week we go through all the streaming services and we try to find a show that you might overlook for one reason or another. We watch the first episode, we give our opinions, and hopefully find something you like.
And again, this week we're going to take a look at My Love from the Stars. We like to begin with some basic show background information. And Steve, what'd you come up with?
Okay, so this show ran from December 18th of 2013 to February 27th of 2014. Each episode runs close to an hour, give or take a couple of minutes. At the time of this recording, it's on Amazon Prime. There are 21 episodes, which is the complete series. Then there is a bonus episode, which they kind of treated as a wrap-up, like talking about everything that happened in the show. What I found so interesting about this, this is a South Korean show, is they said that for the finale, the 21st episode, that 28% of South Korean households watched it.
Really?
So like a fourth of the country watched the finale of this show. It was extraordinarily popular. I was so surprised.
Yeah.
It got hugely positive reviews, on the Korean rating services.
Sure.
Like 9.5 out of 10.
Well, that's like old network TV numbers.
Like MASH.
Yeah, it turned into MASH or the last episode of Cheers or something.
Right. Wow. I mean, and it's not that I'm not saying the show is bad, but it didn't strike me as a show that would get 1 out of 4 people to watch it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's amazing. That's interesting. You said it was 2013 and 14. Did you see the little tag at the end of the first episode where they were all in masks and stuff? I thought maybe they were filming during the pandemic.
No, I saw that too, but coincidence? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Wow, I thought for certain this was like filmed during the...
Like a 2020?
Yeah. Wow, okay.
No. Yeah.
Huh, okay. Mysteries.
Yeah, every show has them.
They do. Well, thanks for the background info. Again, just blown away by the viewership numbers.
Yes.
So let's see if we can summarize the first episode of the series of My Love from the Stars. I think you're up on this one, right?
I did, and I ran this in my head various times during the day to think of how I could encapsulate all this in a minute, but I think I have it.
Well, it's got to be easier than Elena's ghost.
You're right. There's a few less plots at the same time. Okay. So it is in Korea in the year 1610. Aliens kind of do a drive-by of the Earth. And this little, this young teenager gets caught in the wake of them passing by. And she gets picked up in the air and she's going to die. Well, one of the aliens apparently sees this, freezes time, comes down and saves her, and that alien then kind of loses his chance to leave Earth. So he lives on Earth, and now it's the year 2022. And in 3 months, there's a comet coming, which apparently is his chance to leave Earth. And so he's just trying to ride that out. He's lived various lives as a doctor, as a professor. He basically knows everything about everything, and he has superpowers as we would know them. And he's living in this really nice building, and he gets a new roommate who is an actress. And she kind of pushes every one of his buttons that he doesn't like. But they can't help but become intertwined with each other. So the show, at least in the first episode, is kind of how these two people meet and then kind of how they can't help but fall into each other's path.
That was great. I don't think I need to do my summary challenge. That was good. Okay. Geez. Always so tough to follow. All right. Let me give this a shot. So I had the same thing, a comet or spaceship passes by Earth in the 1600s. Although I was kind of confused because it's a Korean show, but I think it takes place in Japan.
You know, I actually was going to ask about that later on because I thought I caught Japan too. So maybe, I don't know.
So either in Korea or Japan, like you said, the landing almost kills a woman. He rescues her, but then some jealous guy or boyfriend of hers kills her because she has the hots for the alien guy, I guess. Fast forward 400 years. Like you said, the alien is living as a prof, a professor, some movie star actress neighbor moves in next door. They clash, but I don't know. Should I save the spoiler? And it seems that they are somehow connected. And like you said, he's leaving in about 3 months on a comet that's passing by Earth.
No, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, I was confused about because I swear that they're also speaking Japanese.
You know, and you're right, because now that I think back a little bit, I think that in the 1600s part of the show, they said Japan.
Yeah, but it's a Korean show.
But it's a South Korean show with an all-Korean cast.
Huh. Okay.
So I guess I should do more research.
No, I was just – it kind of took me off
guard.
That's
a good point.
Yeah. To be continued. Yeah,
TBD.
All right, so great summary challenge. I think everybody can get an idea of what the first episode is about.
There's your sandwich.
Points of interest, clarification needed to watch this show. I already put down on mine to be determined still, Korean Japanese connection ? So I don't know about that one. What did you have for points of interest, clarification?
Well, I guess what I find is a point of interest, and I at first I thought it was a great one, and then I thought, well, maybe I'm stereotyping. But Korea seems to like this kind of show.
Yeah.
Where you kind of have this mystical being that is on Earth for a long period of time.
Yes.
They get entangled with us mortals, and it's romantic and funny and dramatic all at the same time.
Yes.
Because this is like a cleaner version of Gumiho.
I know. I was just going to say, this reminded me so much of Gumiho. Like the plot, the way it was filmed, the way it was acted. It's almost kind of the same. Like you said, we have a mystical character who's ancient.
Who saves the girl
and is now entangled sort of romantically with a modern day
version of the girl that he saved in the 1600s.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. It just must be a really popular format or form of storytelling.
And so that was my thought. And then I'm like, but you know what? We're only able to pick from what is available on the streaming services.
That's true.
Like, if they only allowed you to see American sitcoms in other countries.
Yeah.
You would just think, so is every American show like Friends or
right.
Seinfeld? Or,
right.
And no, obviously it's not.
That's a great point.
So I guess I can't base two shows and say that's Korea.
No.
But these two shows have a lot of similarities that it was interesting.
Yeah. I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, this is Gumiho part two. And wow, are a lot of Korean shows like this? Or like you said, just happened to pick two that are very similar.
Well, but I will say that I felt like this one was a much tighter. It was tighter. It was cleaner. It didn't feel like the last half hour dragged the way that Gumiho did. So they did it better, I guess.
I could also follow this one better than Gumiho, like the space alien thing versus all that context for the nine-tailed fox. So
this
is a little bit.
You have to worry about what year people were born in, if their blood was going to affect you.
That's right. The astrology too. Yeah, there's a lot of context with that one. So other points of interest, I just said, you know, if you're a sci-fi fan, this will be in your wheelhouse.
Yep.
Maybe a familiarity with other Korean shows. But again, like you said, that might be a little bit unfair. So moving into positives and strengths of the show. So you already said it was a bit more streamlined than the other Korean shows we've seen. Yep. Anything else you thought was particularly good here?
Well, and again, for being a TV show, the special effects that they had were good. Like the sets were good. Everything seemed to be like really impressive.
Yeah.
Whenever they kind of froze time at a couple of points, it all looked really neat. You weren't like, well, this is crap.
Definitely for a budget for a TV show. I don't know what the budgets are like over there, but I thought it was well done. I thought his superpowers were great because there's like nothing this guy can't do, the alien guy.
Right. And I actually had that as both a positive and a negative.
Okay. I can see
because that. It's almost like the Superman syndrome that the only way you can ever beat him is to take away his powers.
Yeah.
And so he can stop time.
Yep.
He can affect electronics. He can like lock it on. Like he can just do whatever he wants. He's fast whenever he wants to be fast. So he has all the powers of everybody. And he's also smarter than everybody because he's been around for 400 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard.
He could pour his coffee from across the room.
Right. Right.
There were some really odd ones. Like just be able to open the refrigerator door, like move game pieces. Yeah, like you said, there seemed to be no limit. And he said something about being some, I don't know, 400 times smarter than humans and eyesight's better.
He can hear. Well, because there's that one part where she's singing in her room and they're in this really nice building. So it's only two, I guess you call them apartments per floor. And they got these nice thick walls. And he's like, you're singing too loudly.
Yeah.
So you can hear that well. You can see that well. You're super fast. You can use telepathy. You can break electronics whenever you want to. So that's hard.
Yeah, you're right. I was constantly amazed by his superpowers as the show went on, but that's a great transition to the weaknesses and drawbacks. And then, it's like, what can't this guy?
But I suspect something's going to happen. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, but I think there has to be something that's going to happen that's going to rob him of something.
Of his powers?
Yeah. Like either maybe he has to leave or he's going to die or.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I can't think it's just 20 more episodes of him doing anything that he wants and no one can stop him. And so what's the show, right?
That would make the writing of the show very easy because whenever you back yourself into a corner, you're like, new power.
Yeah, that's right. did I mention he can shrink?
New power this week.
Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe that's what makes the show so appealing. It's like, what's the new power this week?
Yeah, what can he do?
So other weaknesses and or drawbacks that you saw?
I guess the only – and I say that it is much cleaner than Gumiho, but it also kind of suffers from that. What kind of a show does it want to be?
Yeah.
Because you have an obvious love story.
Mm-hmm.
You have comedy elements.
Yeah.
Some action, some drama. So I guess I would prefer if it just kind of picked a lane.
Yeah. And that was a similar critique we had even with Gumiho, right?
Yes.
And I've noticed there's the scenes that center around the young actor. They're almost like a sitcom-y kind of thing.
She's like the comic relief in a way.
Yeah. With like a laugh track almost built in.
Yep.
And then, But the alien guy, you have this kind of drama X-Files, not quite as dark as X-Files, but this X-Files thing kind of going on.
Brooding.
It is a weird mashup at times. Yep. Yeah.
I will say though, there's that elevator scene whenever they first meet.
Yes.
And she thinks that he's like stalking her because she's famous.
Yeah.
And he just happens to live on the same floor as her. And yeah. I thought that it was kind of a funny interaction.
Yeah, there were fun little moments in there.
Yep.
I'd say my weaknesses were I still felt, I mean, it was better paced than maybe some of the other shows we've seen, but still kind of slow for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I struggled with this or how to put this. Like, are the main characters likable? Like, could I watch, like, the alien guy? Is he a likable character? Because he's so wooden when he.
Right. He didn't really have that many lines in some of the scenes.
Yeah.
He just stands there and just looks like he can't be bothered.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I can get behind I have to find the character kind of interesting and endearing in some way. Maybe that happens. Right now, he's very stoic.
And she just kind of come up, like, she's creating her own problems.
Yes.
You know, you could very much avoid about 90% of what happens to her if she's just a better person. So.
Another weakness and drawback. So, yeah,
but that is kind of sitcom-y, right?
It is, yeah, for sure. All right, so that leads us to our penultimate question. Would we watch the whole season of this? Would you?
On the positive side, you know that it ends. It's 21 episodes. You get the entire story, so you get the conclusion.
Right.
But at an hour each, you're basically spending an entire day watching this show. And I don't know that it grabbed me enough that I'm going to do that. So I guess I'd probably say no.
Yeah. Originally, I put down no. But then I feel like, am I missing something if a quarter of the Korean population watched the finale of this show? Maybe right. This is the best show ever.
Ever.
Yeah. And it just got off to a little bit of a rocky start, and it just locks in like episode two and just is like a freight train after that.
Well, and that's what I found so interesting about that information. I'm like, one out of four? That's amazing.
That is amazing. They must have celebrated a lot.
With they love their ratings. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did see, and I didn't know if it was two different shows, but when I went to go watch this, I had one that said My Love from the Star and another one that said My Love from the Stars. I'm guessing that's just a typo in the streaming platform.
They're almost interchangeable because as I was looking up information about the show, I saw it referenced both ways.
Oh, okay.
So then I know that they showed this in other countries, and I know that other countries had versions of this show.
Oh.
So maybe there's something in there. Huh. I don't know.
You mean they did like a remake of this show?
Kind of like how Elena's Ghost was actually a remake of a show from Venezuela.
Oh, no way.
So I wonder if maybe that's kind of where that S is coming from. Okay. Like some countries put an S on, some didn't.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder if there's like a Western version of this somewhere.
My Favorite Martian?
Kind of.
Maybe.
Oh, man, that's a deep cut. I remember Nick at Night. Jeez.
There is a show called Resident Alien.
Oh.
Alan Tudyk is an alien, and he takes on the form of a human, and he ends up becoming a small-town doctor.
Huh. Well, it's definitely in the wheel.
I guess there are parallels now that I think about it.
Huh. All right. Well, where are we going to rank this one? So we've watched four shows this season. Where are you going to put this in your list?
I'm going to put it at two.
Oh, okay.
And I know that kind of goes against what I said, but there's 21 real episodes here.
Yeah.
Compared to 117 for Elena's Ghost.
Mm.
And I don't think I would care for Hostile Days. So right. I'm like, if I'm going to invest my time into one,
yeah,
I would probably put it in this one over Elena's Ghost just because of how many episodes there are.
Okay. I think that's a completely fair way to do it. I actually, I swapped them. So I have Hyperdrive first. Elena's ghost, I put second because I'm still mesmerized by this werehorse thing.
Right.
My Love from the Stars after that, and then Hostile Days. So we're close.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I wrestled with two and three for the reasons that you're saying.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yep.
And we've talked about this, about it's not really fair. Like, I want to watch more episodes to be able to rank them better, but that makes it tough, right? Because then we start biasing the whole
thing. Because then you blow the whole thing up, because it's like, well, if I'm 50 episodes into Elena's Ghost, then obviously I'm hooked at that point.
That's true.
And now I'm going to put it at number one whenever I watch one episode of Hostile Days.
Yeah, that was something that I struggled with, because when we went back and thought about how we ranked the ones from last season, you know, I watched all of Punchayat.
Right.
And if I probably would have seen all of them, I would have put that much higher on my list. So that makes it tough. So we're going to stick to one episode.
You can only rate it on that. And then if you want to watch it in your free time, then you can't let that factor in.
Sure. All right. So those are our official rankings for the moment. We practice strong ethics here.
Absolutely. I'll have to recuse myself.
So I think it's Nerd Challenge for me, right?
That is correct.
All right. I am ready.
As you said, we have watched four shows so far this season. My Love from the Star, El Fantasma de Elena, Hostile Days, and Hyperdrive.
Yeah.
Pick one character from any of those shows and create a spinoff.
Ooh. Well, that's good. Well, you know I'm going to pick the werehorse.
Well, you said that, and I'm like, I think I know where you're going to go with this.
All right, so do I have to come up with the plot and everything?
Only if you want to.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to do a spinoff with Eduardo. It's going to be it's going to be like a True Blood-esque kind of show, but about werehorses. And it's going to be like, I'm assuming that they're going to be immortal, just like vampires.
Absolutely.
And when we meet Eduardo, we have no idea how old he is in werehorse years. So he could be like 200 or 300 years into his life, right?
Right.
So all this backstory to explore, like the first werehorses, like where does he fit in the werehorse order, how they're interacting with humans all of this time.
I like that.
So we could do like a total, like True Blood, it had to be called something different.
In Spanish,
yeah. It
Eduardo El Caballo.
It could still have like the telenovela kind of feel to it. Or if we really flipped it on its head, still werehorse, but then put them in a situational comedy, like Perfect Strangers or something. You know, so he moves to New York, has to room with his cousin. One's a werehorse. One's
he has to get a job at the racetrack.
Bets on himself. He can run in the races.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So that's
good.
That would be mine. How about you? I know you've given this some thought. So where would you go with this?
Before you had said that comment before, I thought we were going to have the same answer.
Okay.
I have to go with that emo kid. I don't know anything about him. He had like five lines in the entire show, but I want to know his origin story.
Oh yeah.
I need to know what happened to that guy to make him like the only emo goth person in Mexico. Like, and what happened to you? Why are you so sad?
Like Wonder Years for him.
With a voiceover and everything.
Yes.
That would be great.
That would be amazing. You can see like his first goth haircut.
The first time he uses eyeliner.
Start listening to the Smiths and
the Spanish Smiths.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah,
that would be funny.
I would watch both of this program.
Oh, that would be so hilarious, that horse one.
See, that's why I put Elena's Ghost second. Just so much, you can mine so much from it. There's so much.
Oh, no, I really enjoyed parts of it. I just, and I guess even whenever I picked it, I should have assumed it had a crazy amount of episodes because soap operas do.
They do.
I just didn't think of it until I dug in. I'm like, 117. Whoa.
No way. But
it's a lot.
It's a lot. Spinoff show though. I'd watch that.
Yeah. Sure. Right. All right.
Excellent. Excellent nerd challenge as always.
Good times.
Well done. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Jim and Steve Watch a Show. Please stick around or tune in next week when we pick yet another show from the streaming universe to take a look at. We'll watch the first episode and let you know how we find the series. I'm Jim.
I'm Steve. Thank you, everybody.
Jaime y Esteban ven un programa, ellos ven un programa que nunca han visto, ellos ven un programa que nunca han visto.